This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, and you know, you listeners are so lucky you don't hear what we say in the studio between breaks. You think you might know. We can't share it with you, but it's fascinating. Janet Jukes and Macca, we're co-hosting today. And our next guest is Damien Patterson, who's the Policy and Advocacy Officer, Council to the Homeless Persons here in Victoria. Good morning, Damien. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you both for having me on.
Look, it's a pleasure. We'd like, and I know Janet's got a big interest in this area as well, about, you know, the Council of the Homeless has called for safer housing for trans and gender diverse Victorians. Do trans and gender diverse Victorians experience a greater level of homeless than other groups? I think they do.
They do. Yeah. So what we know from the ABS is that 1 in 3 gay and lesbian Australians will experience homelessness. And what we know from the Private Lives Survey is that trans community experiences homelessness at a greater rate than our cis queer community. So it would seem that more than 1 in 3 trans Australians will experience homelessness at some point across their lifetime.
So how do we, let's go back to the start of this. When you look at the raw figures, Damien, there's clearly a challenge here. There's clearly an issue. There's clearly a lack of capacity. How do we solve this, and how do you then ensure that the available properties, or that we reduce homelessness, we can't just target one group. It has to be across entire communities. But where do we start with this? What's the starting point?
Definitely. I think we're probably somewhere at near the starting point at the moment. Really, I think in Victoria, we are developing up a lot of responses for the health and social issues that our queer community faces, but the leaders in doing that work will be the first to tell you that we're still figuring it out. Right. So something like a dedicated facility for trans people would mean that not only can they have somewhere safe to live, but also it could serve as a bit of a centre for excellence, really developing that practice and really leading the maybe even the world.
I guess that some of the challenges is also who delivers those sorts of services. I think that there's, maybe there is arguments about whether or not such a facility would be necessary, but I think it's hard to argue against, given that we know the economic disadvantage for trans and gender diverse people. We know that trans and gender diverse people are locked out of a lot of the service systems, or if they do experience that they need something, they'll bounce around the system, not getting the support that they need until their problems are so big that they're really hard to solve.
Yeah, there has to be another intervention.
And I think we've had lots of those sorts of conversations here, haven't we, Macca, over the years. So I think that the argument for it is not difficult. But who, you know, a lot of our human services are delivered by faith-based organisations, another conversation Macca and I have had many a time. And sometimes that presents a significant barrier also for trans and gender diverse people to be able to access those services. Do you have a view about who should deliver this sort of facility?
I guess I don't personally have a view. It is true that some of the existing really practice that's being developed at the moment in responding to queer homelessness in Victoria is being developed in faith-based organisations. They're particularly, I think, in the homelessness space, where so many of our organisations are faith-based, just from the history of the sector. I think that, yeah, you do find a lot of the excellence does originate in faith-based organisations.
Again, you know, Damien, it's a matter of capacity, isn't it? And that we know there's a problem. The evidence supports, you know, the policy positions that are being taken. If we want to have safer housing for trans and gender diverse people, I'm probably not as troubled about who provides it, assuming that the people who provide it understand the issue and are supportive of the solution. It's actually how do we do it? And, you know, whether it's a faith-based organisation, whether it's the government directly, you know, whether it's communities doing it, the starting point is we have to do it. And I'm not seeing from government perhaps the strength of commitment to resolving this that I'd like to see. Am I being unfair?
I think that if you are asking me to point to successes that the government have funded, I could do that. But certainly I'm here today calling for more money in the next budget because I think that there's more that they can be doing.
So how much are you asking for? It's 1.8 million, I think, or something, isn't it, ongoing, and it's 5 million, is that right, upfront, excluding land costs?
Exactly right. So about 5 million, 5.3 in capital, and then 1.3 million to operate the crisis centre. But also if we want to add in that centre of excellence capacity, that probably adds in around another 1.2. So something like 2.5 in ongoing costs.
And presumably you'd want to see trans people being involved in the design and the development of that or the community, the LGBTIQ community and the expertise from our community driving the development of that initiative?
Definitely. I don't think that you would have this project really without you know, queer-led organisations' involvement. So, yeah, definitely part of the development you'd think would have to be to include some of that expertise.
It's not a lot of money in the scheme of things. I mean, if you say it quickly, it doesn't. And when you look at it, people go, that's a lot of money. But in the scheme of things, in terms of budgets, it's not. It's not a huge amount of money. So I do hope that, you know, we get some way to getting that. The challenge is going to be is convincing government and then the bureaucrats.
Well, of course, but our Minister for Housing happens to also be our Minister for Equality.
Yes.
And active.
Couple of doors you can go through there.
Participant in our community. have you had a chance to pitch the idea to Minister Shing?
No, I don't think I've spoken to her directly about this one, though we have sent it to her. But no, I totally agree. It is a relatively small amount of money. And then measuring that up against what is the opportunity here and with the fact that this practice is really at its earlier stages, I think that the opportunity here is that we could position Victoria to be a global leader on this. Mm. So it really is a small amount of money that would achieve homelessness aims and would also achieve equality aims.
Well, hopefully Harriet is listening right now and I'm sure we've got lots of visitors, lots of listeners here who might take the opportunity to write to her if they support this proposal because obviously, and it's really clear, the research is really clear, isn't it, Damien, that this sort of specialist knowledge and resource and Centre for Excellence, but also just service, is really, really needed. So thank you very much for your advocacy.
Not at all. Thank you for having me on to share it.
Cheers. You are on Sunday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Janet. Stay with us. There's more. You are on Joy 94.9 with Macca and Janet Jukes. Before we go to the news, which will be followed by Ben Mitchell being spoken with by Lisa Daniel on Word for Word. Oh, sorry, I got that wrong. Lisa Daniel interviews Ben Mitchell on Word for Word, not spoken at. My apologies. We spoke with Ave Pulielli, Victorian Greens member for the North Eastern Metropolitan Region, about pill testing, a whole lot of stuff. Josh Burns, MP, on government assistance to industries that, you know, are going to play a big role in our future and also a two-state solution, and the religious discrimination bill, or the lack of one. Zoe Daniel, independent MP for Goldstein. We talked a lot about particularly violence against women, and that was a great discussion. Thank you, Janet. For your contribution.
It's such a big area, Macca. You know, so where do you start, right?
It's a shower on itself.
And there's been, you know, massive investment. I mean, there has to be a shout out. There's been billions and billions of dollars, 345 385 million, I think, since the Royal Commission into family violence has been invested, and yet certainly we've got a more sophisticated service system and more better laws, but we've got such a long way to go. We all have to be part of that solution.
I think, unfortunately, we're regressing. It's I don't think it's getting better.
No, but I do think that, you know, and one of the contributors on the SMS said, you know, it's not all men, and
I absolutely
agree. In fact, it's very few men. It's not all men, but all men are the solution. And so I think that we need to not sort of set people up against each other, but just say we all want to see a big change here, and we can do that if we work together.
Exactly. Dr. Louise Richardson Self from University of Tasmania, speaking broadly on gender. Dr. Richardson Self lectures in philosophy and gender studies. Damien Patterson, Policy and Advocacy Officer for the Council for the Homeless Victoria, on the call for safer housing and more housing for trans and gender diverse Victorians. Thank you for giving up your Saturday morning again, Janet, to come in and co-host. And I think you're in again in about a month, is that right?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. I think it is.
Yeah, try and make it a regular thing.
Which is great.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's great to have you here, and you know, your contribution to the show and the questions and the research you do is really worthwhile. I want to thank you for that. It makes a difference.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you, Paul, for panelling. Thank you, Thea, on front desk for facilitating the calls, and Paul Scott Williams for doing the news in our show and finding, by some secret nefarious method, place names that will make us all laugh when he reads the weather.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.